This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
And now, a yak.
Yak!
Yo, 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 yo! What is going on to my party, people? You know who this is. You know what time it is. Thank you for listening. And for those who are listening for the second time, or the third time, or the fourth time, or the fifth time, 10th time, 15th time, to you, I say, welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. I'll give you your welcome back card each time, baby. You like that. You like that, the range on your boy's voice, right? You love to hear that, because now you know what time it is. It is time for your Drunk Uncle Sports Podcast, and I am your Drunk Uncle, Anwar Richardson. Here we are, baby. Thank you for tuning in. If this is your first time, I'm not going to get into my typical long, you know, drawn out explanation. I'm just going to say this. I curse. I will curse in this podcast. If this is your first time listening, just be aware of your surroundings. Be aware who's around you, because I don't want to teach your kids words that you don't want them to be learning. So the kid's in the car, turn this podcast off. Mama's in the car, turn the podcast off. On the way to midweek church service, turn this podcast off. In the car with the wife, and she's not a huge, huge sports fan and doesn't want to hear some of this crap, turn this podcast off. Now, she might be entertained by me, because I appeal to everybody, especially the ladies. I'm a ladies' man. Not anymore. Used to be. But that's back in the day. Those days are gone. Which I'm okay with. But that didn't sound convincing. That didn't sound convincing enough. So just that is your pre-warning to know, hey, this is Anwar. This is what he's about. There's lots of other podcasts out there. And if me and how I talk and my manner, my approach, if it's not for you, hey, plenty of content on the Yak. Go for it. Knock yourself out. I sure hope you find something that you love. But stick with your boy, because I'm going to have a whole lot of things for you to love, okay? Make sure you stay here, because I have so much to unpack today. I have so much to unpack, so much to address, so many topics to get into. You know, usually I like to tell stories, right? Because I'm your drunk uncle, right? You know, like, drunk uncle loves to tell you some stories, man. I like to make you smile, make you laugh, you know, because life is short, man. Like, life, you know, and people say that, and it's like, it sounds like a cliche, because we hear it all the time, but we don't really grasp it, but for real. Life is short. I tell funny stories all the time because, you know, I remember, as a constant reminder that, you know, for those who did know or may not know that, you know, Sean Adams and I, late Sean Adams and I, were very good friends. Like, he was the first person that became friends with me when I was in Austin. He invited me over to the house. We would go out to eat, have some drinks, like, you know, really got really close with Sean. And you know, we would travel together, and, you know, sometimes on the road games, or we would at least see each other on the road games that he decided that he would go to. And I remember, like, it was at this season, but it was the season before that, Sean and I were going to go to the USC game. We're going to LA, and remember, prior to the season, it's like, man, where are you staying? You know, I want to stay with you. We're going to hang out. We're going to do some stuff. So got a hotel and a Marina Del Rey, and right close to the water. So he got himself a hotel room there. And we had talked about on that Monday when we're going to go and hang out. And we had talked a little bit on, like, that Wednesday about it. We had kind of text each other and said, hey, man, you know, we're going to get together. And, you know, I decided to, you know, head out. I think it was on a Thursday, and I get the call about an hour or two later that he had passed, and got that call when I was actually on the airplane about to take off to LA. So literally sitting there, not in the airport, on the airplane, sitting there, and get the phone call, and I'm just like, what? And then, you know, you only got 10 minutes to no more than 10 minutes to digest it before you get up in the plane and you're off. And horrible, just emotional ride. But I say it all to say, not to bring you to a dark place, but to just say, like, life is so short and we just literally don't know when it's going to happen, that, man, let's enjoy ourselves, man. Let's just have a good time. Let's just not stress over the little things, man, because you just never know, okay? So bear with your drunk uncle when he tells you some of these stories, man, because I have a lot to unpack. I have so much to unpack that this is going to be, I'm going to give you a fun little thing, but I really want to talk football today because that's really what's on my mind. But I'm going to say this. We're going to get into Texas, Oklahoma State, and that what we saw on Saturday, and which I'm kind of describing as a little bit of a debacle. But check this out. I stayed in Oklahoma City, and I'm not staying in Stillwater. I think you guys already know. I've told you about this in the podcast. Like, your boys, he's got to stay in a major city. Like, I'm just not down with these small towns. Like, I'm just not trying to do all that. Like, if you're the best food in your town is going to be at the gas station, I'm sorry. I'll stay outside an hour outside. I'll stay in a major city, right? So I get to my hotel and I'm staying at an Aloft hotel, which I really like. Shout out to the Aloft, really eclectic hotel. I like eclectic things. So I like, you know, I like the modern decors and little things in there. So I get there, I check in, right? And from the moment I get into, walk into the hotel lobby, I'm like, man, this place is really cool. This place looks really nice. But I started realizing what the deal was. Because I'm looking around and I'm seeing a bunch of just buff people. I'm talking about buff women, buff dudes. I mean, it is like bodybuilding central in this thing, right? And I'm like, wow, these people here. And probably, I got nothing against people who bodybuild. Like, anybody who can design and create that much time to really put that type of emphasis into your body, more power to you. Like, I'm not even hating. I'm not even judging anyone who does that. You can do that. More power to you. But as I'm walking around, I eventually basically found out that there was actually a bodybuilding contest in Oklahoma City that weekend. It was called the OKC Grand Prix and Expo Bodybuilding Fitness Bikini and Physiques Championships, right? And the host hotel just so happened to be the hotel that I was in. Mr. Dad Bod, Mr. Vodka Bod, Mr. Bourbon Bod, right? And then listen, I'm in decent shape. Like, I'm not in the great shape that I used to be in, but I mean, outside, like, a little belly that you can probably see, you know, if I sit down. It's not like Buddha. You know, it's just like a mini Buddha. You know, Buddha's brother, half-brother, right? You know what I'm saying? Just a little pouch, a little dad bod going on. And I'm looking at all these beautiful people and all these physiqued out people. And I'm like, damn, all of them carrying their water jugs around. Because apparently it's just really hard to just count out regular bottles. So everyone walking around with their gallon water jugs. And as I get close to the elevator, I see people coming out and they're all getting spray tanned. And so there was like just one room and everyone's got the spray tan on them. And they're like, hey, you know, hey, man, did you go get your spray tan? Yeah, I'm going to get mine later. Like, I'm just listening to this conversation, man. And I just realized, damn, I'm out of shape. Damn, I'm out of shape. And here's how I really, 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 really knew I was out of shape. Because comparing yourself against those people is kind of unfair, right? I mean, it's like me comparing myself to like Denzel. I mean, he's a 10, I'm a 9. I mean, it's close. No, I'm just joking, right? 9.5. But, you know, it's like us comparing ourselves to what, you know, Hollywood's version of attractive and sexy is. So you're like, you know, like me comparing myself to a person who works out multiple times a day and eats a certain way and is really dedicated and is watching all that stuff. Like, that's not fair. But here's how I knew for sure, just within my own self, how out of shape I was. Okay, so check this out. So we after the game, we all go down, and I mean all the reporters, we go down from the press box, take the elevator down, we go to the press conference, talk to Tom Herman, gives us our quotes, and then we decide that a few of us, you know, we're going to walk back upstairs. And actually, take it back. Wrong scenario. Cuz I took the elevator a second time. We were actually on the field before the game. Totally remember the story now. on the field before the game. And then a group of us decide, okay, it's time to go back upstairs, this and that. Well, so we get to the elevator line, and the line is huge. Like, the line's huge. It looks like it might be 75 deep. So one of the reporters, I'm not going to name names. I'm not going to name names to protect the innocent. You know, I'll just clown on myself. So someone says, man, listen, why don't we just take the stairs? And overall, it doesn't sound bad. You take the stairs, get up there, it's fine. Someone goes and asks one of the security guards, and then go, yeah, the media thing, that's on the fifth floor. So you're thinking five flights of stairs. But in your mind, it's like five flights of stairs. That's like the flight of stairs in your house, right? Like eight steps to get to one level, then another eight steps to get upstairs, like that type of steps. But not stadium steps. Because if you know anything about stadium steps, if you've ever been inside stadiums, like stadium steps are much longer and there's many more of them. Let me tell you, if you wanted to see one of the most pathetic scenes of the most out of shape people that there was, you should have seen these four reporters trying to trek it up some damn steps to what we thought was going to be the fifth floor ended up being the sixth floor. By the time most of us got to the third floor, it was like one of those war movies when like all the injured soldiers are like coming back from war and like one person's carrying the other one. They have like that dramatic music playing in the background and they were like, oh God. There was one guy who was bent over, just like he couldn't take it. You heard, oh my God. Like, it was horrible, embarrassing, shameful, an abomination. Like, it was such a contrast. Because I come from a hotel where I see nothing but in-shape people around. And our asses literally needed oxygen by the third floor. We get up to where the fifth floor is, and we're thinking, oh God, at least we made it here. But no, it wasn't the fifth floor. We had to go up to the sixth floor. And that's what your drunk uncle had to push himself through. I just had to suck it up. I had to get through it. I had to go 1-0. I mean, I had to play to the end of the whistle. And it's dead tired as I was, and really just thought about just jumping over the banister or just ending it all at that point, I just decided, no. Pressed through, made it to the sixth floor. We finally got, I mean, it was like, oh my God, I'm fucking dying. Like, you just wanted to know, like, the Cigna or Humana, will they cover this? Will they cover this right now? We got up there. All I really wanted, and this is how I know I got to start working out again, all I could think about at that time was that I want to get an ice cream bar. That's all I fucking wanted. I wanted either that or I wanted to get some vodka. I didn't have alcohol in the press box. And all I could think about is that I want a damn ice cream. Like that's where you know you've got problems. And that's why I got to look at myself and I got to say, listen, no matter what kind of shape honor you think you're in, because I was used to be in great shape. I'm going to get to a lot of football. I used to be in great shape. Like, I used to jog 3 miles and then do a complete boxing workout. Like, that was like the kind of shape that I was in. I think I told you that story, right? I was started working out in a boxing gym, started getting into it. And I was great. Jog 3 miles, get into there, pop, 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 pop. I mean, working it. Like, they loved it. Had a decent jab. My left was my jab. Had a powerful right. Like, they told me, like, you have a championship right. Your left, okay. But your right, killer. And then it took me to go watch a sparring match one time on a Saturday. And I was like, fuck this. I'm not doing this shit. Because the bags don't punch back. It's great. Like, the bags don't punch back. But these dudes who are sparring, they're punching back. Like, why is that dude blowing snot bubbles that with blood out of his nose? Like, why is this dude? I'm like, how many times I got to do this before I fight? Nah, bro, I'm good. Shit. Nah, man, I'm doing good too. Nah, man, I got insurance, man. I got a 401k, man. Y'all can keep this. So your drunk uncle's got to get in shape. Your drunk uncle's got to get in better shape. I have bad knees. If you have suggestions for me, email me. Tell me what kind of exercises I should do, what I should sign up for, because I'm just not quite sure. Like, you might be a physically fit person, but I have bad knees. I played basketball for years, and I just can't jog because, you know, I could do it with a little bit of a brace on, but it's just tough. So if you have any suggestions, email me, nflonwar@gmail.com. Let me know what your suggestions are because I definitely want to know what you're thinking. All right, let's talk football. Because I have so much that I really have to unpack from a football perspective that I just have to get into this. Where are we going to start from this Oklahoma State-Texas weekend? All right, well, why don't we start with the lesser of all the evils? Can we talk Chris Boyd, Emmanuel Acho? Can we just get that out the way? And I, by the way, if I'm mispronouncing his name, I apologize. I never covered the man, so I only know of him. I believe the correct pronunciation is Acho. If it's something else, I apologize. I'm not doing it on purpose. So maybe I'll just say Emmanuel just to cover all bases. Let's talk about that for a second. I know a lot of people are upset at Emmanuel, and they feel like maybe he went out of line and maybe went a little bit too far. I think I understand like a couple of things. First of all, Emmanuel is an ESPN commentator, but more importantly, he's a Texas fan. That, you know, so he's a Texas fan who, one, put in his dues here, but two, has a vested interest in the University of Texas. So he's going to have an opinion. And one thing I know about Texas fans, like any fan, right? Sometimes people say things as fans that, I mean, are going to come across as mean, are going to come across as mean-spirited. Doesn't mean they're any less of a fan. It just means they're so emotionally invested that sometimes they say things out of frustration. And when Emmanuel said something about this thing being trash, and it was kind of subtle jab at Chris Boyd, because Chris Boyd did struggle, like, ain't gonna lie. But it was such a subtle jab that Chris Boyd took it personal. And then Chris Boyd he's gonna get on Instagram, and he's gonna have stuff to say. And kind of have this, what I guess determines, ends up being kind of almost a veiled threat at Acho about talking about don't come out to practice. As if what he's going to do something to Acho, like, I didn't like that. I didn't like that. And Tom Herman addressed it on Monday. Tom Herman said, you know, listen, it was the ill-advised attempt to try to say that the only thing that matters are the opinions within the building. I think it was a horrible attempt. I think it was, if that was what he was trying to communicate, then he did it as poorly as you can do. Because first of all, listen, I'm on Twitter. And I get stuff. I'm on Orange Bloods. People clap back. People say stuff to me all the time. I get criticisms all the time, every day. Not every day. Some days I don't have too many grammatical errors, but some days I do. Probably had some on Sunday because, my God, I had like 3.5, maybe 4 hours of sleep. Like, I got back to the room at somewhere like 2, had to wake up around 6-ish or so. Actually, I didn't go to bed about 3. And then had to wake up around 6 or 7 to finish the Sunday pulpit. I was a comatose. Like, I actually drove home and I was actually sleeping while I was heading back from Stillwater to OKC. Really, really dangerous. I got to figure out something better. I can't do that again because that's not smart. It was only an hour drive, but I've kind of, I got to be smarter than that. So, you know, guys, my admission, that was really not a smart decision on my part. Okay. You're going to have people say things to you. And Tom Herman has said for the longest time, listen, man, the only opinions that matter are the opinions inside of this building. And honestly, that's the way it's got to stay. That's the way it has to be. So I'm going to say this to Chris Boyd. I'm going to say this to any person at the University of Texas team that has the aspirations to go pro. And if you have a child in the car or a teenager in the car who plays, let them hear this too. The higher you go in life, especially in sports, the more criticism you're going to face. That's just life. It is not different for anyone else on any profession. Just think about when you're a low-level person and I say low level, that's horrible to say. Let's say entry level. I apologize for saying low level because no one's better than another. If you're an entry level person at a job, you're not going to face as much criticism as the president of a company is going to face. An assistant manager won't face as much criticism as a manager will. And then the manager won't face as much criticism as a regional supervisor will. You understand what I'm saying? Listen, in high school, you're not going to get a lot of criticism because it's all positive. And no one's trained to really go after high school kids. That's just not what happens. Even though one of my boys called me this weekend and told me like his kid was playing soccer and his kid is about 5 years old. And I guess his kid, the other kid flopped. And he said apparently out loud that the other kid not only flopped, the other kid acted like his son had poked him in the eye. And so my friend took offense because he's like, his son did not poke the kid in the eyes. Like he was standing right there watching it. Apparently he said at the game, like that kid's acting like a pussy. And then he called me to talk to me about it. And I was like, yeah, you about as wrong as two left feet, bro. You can't say that, especially about kids. I mean, come on. That's stuff you think. You can't say that out loud. He's like, well, what else? Yeah, I apologize to the coach. I apologize to the parent. What else did I do? I'm like, hope like hell you never see them again. He's like, should I go out and seek them out? I'm like, hell no, not unless you're ready to throw some hands. Because you had said that about my kid, you might have got a two-piece, baby. And I'm talking about whack, whack. The two-piece, like Shannon Sharp will say, whack, whack. That's what you might have got if you said that about one of my kids. So if I was you, I would just avoid these people altogether. Okay. But anyway, you can't, when it comes to high school, you're not going to get criticized. Like that's just not the nature of high school sports. That's not what happened. High school is always going to be great, right? High school is nothing but positive, nothing but praises. You're always going to get nothing but positives in high school. College, it starts a little bit more criticism. It's people start being a little bit more critical of you because young people are all on Instagram and Twitter, and they're not on Facebook. They left that years ago. And Snapchat, right? You're going to get more people coming at you. Only old people on Facebook. Sorry. No young people ain't on there. They trust me. They and if they probably not on Snapchat anymore. They're probably on something else that we'll find about 5 years from now. And they're just because they just run away from us. They don't want to be around us. But listen, if you have the aspirations, and you're Chris Boyd, you got the aspirations to go pro, you got the aspirations to play pro ball. My man, if you think Acho clapped back at you and was a little bit tough on you and you didn't like what he said, well, you might not want to go into the NFL draft. And you might not want to try to play in the NFL because that's different level of criticism. Because, see, there's a difference, right? Because in college, right, I'm really careful with my phrasing, right? So in college, you can say a kid struggles, and it's okay, right? You get away with that because struggles is a fair word. In the NFL, you could say a guy sucks. And you know what? They're getting paid. So it's all on the table. In the NFL, you're going to get criticized. In the NFL, that you're going to have people in the fans going to boo you. You're going to have people on talk radio say that you are horrible. They're going to say all types of bad things about you in the NFL. That's just the nature of it. And at some point, you got to learn that it really, really, really doesn't matter what other people say about you. And Tom Herman's right. And, if you want to silence your critics, then you know what you do? Ball out. Ball out. How about that? Just don't let, you want to silence your critics? Don't let Tylan Wallace go crazy. Stop him. Make a tackle. Come back over the next four games and say, do something. The only thing that concerns me, I'm going to get way more Texas topics than this. Was this your concern on a Sunday after a loss? After a loss that's going to knock you out of the top 10? After a loss that now puts you in a really interesting situation as relates to the Big 12 race? Like, was this what you thought about? Someone came to you or you heard about it and then you decided that you wanted to get on social media and say something? Like, this is where your head was at? Like, I don't know. I don't like that. I don't like that. And you guys know what I said last week. I don't like distractions. I told you that. I didn't predict the Texas loss, but I did tell you I don't like distractions. I don't like it when teams enter in a game and there's distractions. What did I tell you? I don't like that they got players that are going to be suspended. I didn't like the uncertainty about Sam at the time. I mean, Sam Ehlinger at the time. I don't like distractions, because what always happens is teams will say, I'm not distracted. We're not distracted. We just focus in ourselves. And then they lose. Then what happens? We were distracted. It happens all the time. I've seen it throughout my career, and I started in this business in 1994. Yes. Yeah, I'm that old. So you start doing the math. That's why I got started in this business. And I've seen it too many times. So I don't, Chris Boyd, listen, Acho is a Texan. You know, he's Texan, but he's a Longhorn. So lack of better terms, and, you know, or at least clarify my terms. He's a Longhorn. He's part of the family. And just because he criticized doesn't mean he's not part of the family. And he represents his Longhorns. In fact, Emmanuel's the first guy who said that he didn't think he thought Tom Herman took it too hard on you as far as the punishment's concerned. You can't be mad at that guy. Just gotta let shit go. Just gotta let shit go, man. Some things ain't worth it, man. Like, I'm getting better at just learning how to just let stuff go. Just don't. Because if you fight over every little thing, like, you know, yeah, I used to look at married couples, right? I would see the old man in the chair. Sometimes his wife would just be, and he'd just be sitting there rocking. I used to think, like, man, what is wrong with that guy? Like, why is he not saying anything back? Like, what is wrong with this guy? Like, he can't let his wife just talk all types of mess and foolishness. Like, he need to go ahead and regulate that. Like, I'm shit at me. He ain't no real man. Like, if he was me, I'll go ahead and say something to him. Let her know, like, she ain't, this is my house. Like, you ain't gonna run me. I run the shit. Like, this is my show. Until you get in the situation, you realize that old man was smart. Because the old man realized, if I want peace and harmony in this home, some stuff, I just got to let go. And some battles, you just got to pick and choose. Well, there was a battle this weekend. Let's go to this real battle. It's Texas and Oklahoma State. To paint this loss as anything less than extremely disappointing would be disingenuous. I know what's being said. I hear it. All the goals are still in front of Texas, right? I know they can still win the Big 12 championship. You know, there's a 4-game season. Like, I get that. Those are all facts. None of those things can be denied. I'm not saying any of that stuff is inaccurate. But let's start with where Texas was. Let's just not act like Texas wasn't the 6th-ranked team in the country that was in the college football playoff conversation. Let's just not act like, well, that never happened. I don't know what anyone's talking about. We were just focused on the Big 12. No! This was a team that we knew Alabama was going to play LSU at some point. We knew Michigan still was going to play Ohio State. Remember, we talked about scoreboard watching. Remember that? Remember that podcast we talked about that? This was a team that was still in the mix, in the hunt. You cannot lose this game to Oklahoma State. And listen, I get it. I know what happened a week ago. Yes, Purdue, Ohio State, that happened. But that was supposed to be the warning lesson. That was supposed to be the warning shot. That was your pre-warning. That you can't go and take this team lightly. And they didn't take this team lightly, but 8 games into the season, y'all, it's concerning what we're seeing. It's concerning the problems that exist. I'll get into those details in a second, but let's just stay with the overall picture right now. I get it. Everything's on the table as far as Texas is concerned. Texas still has a chance to win the Big 12 championship. Texas controls its own destiny. If Texas wins out, they're going to be in the Big 12 championship game. I get that. But here is the thing. If you're going to have a loss, if you're looking for a mulligan, if you're looking for a throwaway game, it can't be this game. It can't be Oklahoma State. Because you know why? Because now every game becomes a must-win game. There is no margin for error. There is none. None. Texas goes out and loses to West Virginia this upcoming week. One more loss. And Texas is probably not in the Big 12 championship. It just is what it is. Because what'll happen is even if they win the rest of their games, but they lose against West Virginia, then at the end of the season, Texas has to hope that West Virginia beats Oklahoma because they have to own the tiebreaker versus Oklahoma. And now you're starting to put your fate in someone else's hands. And that's not what you want to do in football. It's not what you want to do in any sport. You want to be able to, as they say, control your own destiny. I put that in air quotes because destiny doesn't mean it's destined to happen. You wouldn't be able to control it anyway. I don't know. Just a sidebar. But you want to be able to control your own fate. And having the loss, these what's kind of frustrating a little bit right now, what's frustrating a little bit right now is certain games should just not be happening. Because here's a trend that we're starting to see, which is Texas has zero problems, and I mean zero problems, getting up for ranked opponents. What people call the big games, right? Texas got up like this year. They got up for USC. I mean, USC was ranked. We know where they're at right now, but let's just say what they were before. Texas got up for that game and did extremely well. Texas got up for TCU. And again, where they were ranked at the time. This is TCU before the loss to Kansas. Whoa. Props to David Beatty, though. I like him. One of my favorite coaches in the Big 12. I root for him. I want him to be successful. Not saying I want him to be successful against Texas, but he just seems like a really, really nice guy. I don't know what it is. I like him. And he doesn't seem disingenuous to me. I don't know. Oklahoma. They got up against Oklahoma. 48-45. Great game. Great game. A game that Texas dominated for three quarters. Can't ignore what happened in the fourth quarter. But Texas was ready for that game. They did great against those games. But the problem is these non-ranked teams. The Marylands of the world. You can't lose to Maryland. Especially 2 years in a row. Tulsa. I mean, squeaker, life or death against Tulsa. I mean, Kansas State. Baylor. I mean, they're one of the worst teams in this conference. And then Oklahoma State that, let's be honest, just wasn't that good going into this game. They played well. But is Taylor Cornelius really, really that good? I don't know. I don't think so. I don't believe so. Now, dude, listen. Tylan Wallace is a baller. Oh, my God. Because, listen, I know Texas fans, some people say, man, maybe that penalty was too tough. Maybe Tom Herman shouldn't have suspended those guys, so on and so forth. Well, all I know is Chris Boyd came in for the last three quarters of the game, and it didn't make a huge difference because Tylan, he was doing the damn thing. Tylan was number two, by the way, if you just don't know his name. But number two for Oklahoma State? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I mean, he was out there looking like Randy Moss, just a shorter version. I mean, it was just amazing how incredible he was. And at Justice Hill, he goes out. He has almost 100 yards, but he's very productive in the run game. They're moving the ball. And the frustrating part about watching the team and watching the program is these little teams that are good but shouldn't be better than Texas, that it just shows how much more Texas has to grow as a program. Because I get it, you know, on any given Saturday or even any given Sunday, any team can beat anyone. I get that. But to be one of the better teams and to be one of the best teams in the Big 12, you got to get past that. And it's got to get past that up and down, like, inconsistency. And again, that's great that Texas is losing by close margins. And it's great that this team is battling back. And this team, you know, when they get punched in the chest, they find a way to respond. That is progress. Those things cannot be denied. But they were like that last year. They battled back last year and played tough. The games meant something to them last year also. And it still means the same thing. It's no moral victories here. You want real victories. And here we are. West Virginia becomes a must win. I hate the word of hyperbole, right? You guys know that. I'm not trying to candy coat it. I'm not trying to just say shit just to say it. Like, in the world, I hate to be in the world of hyperbole. But biggest game of the season is this weekend. Texas has to beat West Virginia. I mean, they have to, because I look, if Texas loses to West Virginia, then has to go the following week on the road and go to Texas Tech and play there in that hostile environment where, I mean, depending if they lose against West Virginia, it's probably going to be an afternoon game anyway, which I hope so, because I got a really early flight back on Sunday. I'm trying to change it, but I'm just having no luck right now. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough back-to-back. The next 3 weeks, I mean, right now, look, Texas has a way of getting up for the big teams, the big opponents. So on paper, I would say Texas has a really good shot to beat West Virginia. I'll give you a coin toss versus Texas Tech and Iowa State. And then here becomes the question. If you, as a Texas fan, you're going to have to think about, and you're going to have to come up with some really, really, really tough questions and answers. I'm going to give you tough questions. And you're going to have to give me some real answers. Let's keep it real with your drunk uncle right now. Now, listen, obviously, if Texas wins the next four games, they finish 10-2. They go to the Big 12 championship with a chance to finish 11-2, right? And then go to a bowl game, right? That's good. That's good. Best case scenario, all right? That's the best case scenario for this team. Let's talk about other potential scenarios. What if Texas wins three of the next four games? They finish 9-3. Still happy with that? It's progress. They only won 6 regular season games last year. Could finish with 9, potentially get to 10. I think you probably take that, right? What if they only win 2? Finish 8-4. And 8-9 is probably where your prediction was before the season. But what if they only win 2 more games? Don't play in the Big 12 championship. Is that still a successful season to you? Now, clearly, if they only win 1, and that one is Kansas, and we're talking about this team being on a 4-game lose streak and closer to beat Kansas, and they finish with 8 and 1 better than last year, that is going to be viewed as a disappointing season. But you as a Texas fan has to start thinking, what would I be happy with? What can I live the entire offseason with? 4, of course, you'll take that today. If I offered you that today, you would take it today, because there would be no other offer that would be better than that. I mean, this ain't Shark Tank. That's an easy negotiation. Now, 3, meaning maybe you lose. And again, maybe you say to yourself, well, how's a 3 look? Is it 3 losing to West Virginia and then not really getting into the Big 12 championship game, but beating Tech, Iowa State, and Kansas, and then having a chance to win a 10th? Maybe in San Antonio, Alamo Bowl type of stuff. I don't know. What about 8-4? I'm starting to hear people get a little bit quieter. And again, I'm only talking to myself. It's just me and my little Shih Tzu up in the cage. You heard him with the squeaky toy a little bit earlier. Heard with the squeaky toy a little bit earlier. Just sleeping now. That's good. Good dog. Then what about, but we know one. We know one, if it's only Kansas, it's 7-5. Obviously, we know there's going to be torches outside. So we've established that Texas gets up for the big games. And so we look at going to West Virginia and say, that's a big game Texas will get up for. We just don't know what the other few games look like. But now we know there's no margin for error for this team in the Big 12 race. There's none, 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 zero margin for error. That went out the window. You wasted your get out of jail free card on Oklahoma State. Like, if you're going to waste the card, you should have been wasted against a better team than Oklahoma State. But the card has been wasted. The card has been pulled out of the deck. So there it is. This team's got to get better in a lot of areas. And this is what concerns me, your drunk uncle, right now. We're 8 games into the season. We're 8 games in. Only 4 left. Listen. For the most part, it is what it is. I mean, 8 games in, you know, you can't make that many adjustments because your adjustments come in the offseason. That's when you do your adjustments. That's when you do your improvement. That's when you get better. When it comes to the regular season, though, by the time you're here, it just is what it is. That's it. Especially when you're 8 games in, you really are at the level where it's really, really hard to improve. What you can do, especially as a coaching staff, players, is you can try to put your guys in the best positions to succeed, but expecting them to somehow be miraculously better is a lot tougher. What we're not seeing a lot of and enough of is the pass rush. Just not seeing enough of this pass rush that should be there. Texas currently is eighth in the conference in getting sacks. Eighth in this conference. Guys are struggling. I mean, Charles Omeniyi, he's getting a sack a game. He's getting there. He's not all just, coming off the edge. It's not just a bunch of Dwight Freeney type of things, but he's getting to the quarterback. He's being around the quarterback. You can't take that away from him. Brecken Hager's struggling, though. He's struggling. I like the young man. No, got nothing against the young man, but he is struggling. He's not getting to the quarterback. And when he does get to the quarterback or does get in the backfield, it seems to be like he's missing tackles. He's taking bad angles. And the one thing I don't really like that I'm seeing is it seems like he leaves his feet too much. It seems like he's just jumping and leaping. I see that a lot on the defense. I see guys trying to make hits as opposed to trying to make tackles. I don't know if you noticed that. Instead of just going and just wrapping up and taking a guy to the ground, I see guys just trying to throw hits and opponents are just bouncing off of that because it's like you're just going to throw a hit while you're strong, I'm strong. Everybody's in the weight room in the offseason. Everybody's got a strength and conditioning coach. I mean, Yancey McNice does a hell of a job. He ain't the only strength and conditioning coach in America. They've got to find a way. Todd Orlando, he's got to find a way to start dialing up pressure. Got to appreciate what Malik Jefferson did last year. I know Alex would give you these stats. I tell you about Gary Johnson does this and Gary Johnson does that. What was the eye test tell you? Excuse me. The eye test will tell you that Gary Johnson has done well, but it hasn't been that predator-like that you've seen previously, at least from Malik. That's a live podcast, board, by the way. I tried to hit pause so I would not sneeze. And for some reason, I'm just clicking it. It just wasn't going to pause. I was just like, I can't hold this anymore. It just got to go. The other thing on defense that's been, a little bit of concern is opponents are converting 39% of their third downs against Texas. That makes fifth in the Big 12. Here's a crazier stat. This is the crazier stat. Opponents are converting 62.5% of their fourth downs against Texas. That's 10 out of 16. That's ninth in the Big 12. Like, Texas is not getting off the field the way we're accustomed and used to them doing. And here's why that's important. What are you saying? Come on, Drunk Uncle. What are you talking about? Come on, Drunk Uncle. Give it to me. Wait. Let's go. I've told you before, Texas has got to face some really good offenses going forward. They play some Oklahoma State offense, which was pretty good, right? Really good, actually. Okay? Over the next couple of weeks, if we just go through West Virginia, their offense, total offense, right, is ranked third in the Big 12. Texas Tech's offense is ranked second in the Big 12. Iowa State's offense is ranked sixth in the Big 12. So we're talking about just a little bit lower. And Kansas is 10th. Poor Kansas. And this Texas defense, I mean, they've got some dudes coming now. I mean, we already saw Tylan Wallace, right? We just got a chance to see him. I mean, West Virginia, they're going to bring out David Sills. We're going to see a lot of him. In Texas Tech, they're going to have Antoine Wesley. He's going to be coming. They got, how do you say his name? Jadeon High. I mean, you're going to have to face against him. Iowa State is going to have Hakeem Butler. We all know he's that dude. And so this defense is being tested and struggling in ways that, again, I know Tom Herman, he's pointing out the positives. And I totally get it. I totally see what he's doing. I get it. I totally understand what Tom Herman's doing. He has to accentuate the positives because obviously he doesn't want to bang and be, he understands the mentality and how fragile the team could be. Because Tom Herman's always been Mr. 1-0, right? That's all it's been, 1-0. And then after the loss, what did he say? Well, we still going to be positive. Doesn't mean he went away from 1-0, but all of a sudden, he starts talking about big picture goals. In other words, he's trying to make sure he doesn't lose this team. He's trying to make sure that the players understand that there's still something to play for. He doesn't want guys to pack it in. He understands how fragile the team could be, and he's being preemptive by saying, look, guys, don't get down. If we win the next few games, we still have the potential, the possibility to do a lot of different things. But you know, and I know, it's no margin for error. There just isn't. There's no margin for error with this team now. Like I said, that get out of jail free card was put out against Oklahoma State. Can't put that one back in the deck. And hopefully at some point Texas will get to the point where they don't waste their get out of jail freeze against the Maryland's of the world or Oklahoma State, which I guess we can't even call it a fluke because what is this, 4 straight for Oklahoma State? Don't waste it against the techs of the world. You know, waste it against the good, the elite. Not just the good to below average teams. Let's just keep it real. Players have to play better. Coaches have to coach better. It's not just one avenue. That's the right avenue. It's a combination of things. I think we could go back to that game. You could say there's definitely things that the players could have done differently. There was a lot of mental errors. I mean, just from on special teams, on offense, you know, drop passes. And again, I don't want to kill guys. There was a drop touchdown pass by LJ. We talked about the Brandon Jones thing, missed tackles. Like, it's just, there were so many little mental errors. And Tom Herman is right. Tom Herman is right about this. Texas is not at a point. And let me just paraphrase it. I'm going to say it the way your drunk uncle would rather say it. Texas is not at a point where they can just half-ass it and still come out with the win. Now, he says it differently. I'm just going to keep it regular for you. I'm just going to keep it. I'm going to put it where the cows can eat it. Texas can't come and give a half-ass performance and expect to win. Just can't happen. They're not there yet. They don't have that many guys on the team. They don't have that many dogs on the team. What needs to happen this week has to happen this week. This team has got to dial in more so than they've ever dialed in before. They've got to get off social media. I don't care if the president tweets at you this week. You don't freaking respond. I don't care who criticizes you this week. No, you should not care. If someone calls up a member of this team and says, hey, man, can you believe what such as, hey, cut that shit out. I don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. I'm focused on this team. They have to dial in because Texas hasn't really faced Will Grier. Haven't. They faced the West Virginia team without Will Grier. They have not had to see Will Grier for 4 quarters. And we can talk about the guy and the great quarterbacks that they played last year and how that last year's team fared against those great quarterbacks that they played. We can talk about the Sam Darnolds that they played, and we can talk about Mason Rudolph, and we can talk about Baker Mayfield. We can talk about all those guys. But this ain't the same defense. And because this ain't the same defense, you can't tell me about how this team did against those guys. This is a different defense. This defense has come down to earth just a little bit more to make games competitive. Last year they played lights out with the exception of 2 games, Tech and Maryland. And everything sandwiched in between, this team, this defense looked great. Now we're talking about a defense that in 6 games has given up a score on the opening drive. 5 touchdowns, 1 field goal. Texas is not built to be a team that has to play from behind all the time. That's just not how this team was built. It is defense giving up scores and just going in the hole every single week. Talk about things that got to stop. I mean, that's preparation. Tom Herman said he talked to Todd Orlando about that on Sunday. They're going to talk about it this week. They should have more than one meeting about it, to be honest with you. They should have more than one meeting about this. Because that's preparation, that's adjustments. And again, Tom Herman says the players, you know, they tell the players all the time, listen, man, what you see on film, it may not be what you see to start off the game. But in the same breath, the coaches have to understand that if y'all are seeing something different, you've got to make sure these guys adjust. It can't just be boom, 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 touchdown. It's a lot on the line. And look, if all goes well, we can look back on this game. Texas finishes 10-2, goes to a Premier Bowl, maybe a New Year's Six Bowl or something. And you can, at the end of the day, say, man, great. It's a great season. Not a problem. But the one thing you don't want to look back, and Texas doesn't want to do, is look back and be regretful. Because they're right. Texas does control its own destiny. They do. They do. Absolutely. But Texas needs to take control of its own destiny. Texas needs to take control of its own fate. Yes, you do. You do. You controlled your own destiny against Oklahoma State, too. Just so you know. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like all of a sudden you woke up and now you control your own destiny. You controlled it the other week, too. You controlled it on Saturday. So now it's a matter of Texas taking control of its own destiny and finishing off the show and doing the damn thing. And last thing. Because someone's going to say, well, you didn't talk about the referees. You didn't talk about the officiating. Stop it. I don't want to hear about that. Because the referees, let's just go like this. Big 12 referees just aren't good. I don't think there are a lot of college referees that are good, to be honest with you. Big 12 referees are bad. And you know what? Yes, I don't fully understand. I think there's a lot more nuances. Arlong did something on our Orange Bloods where he kind of broke down and tried to say that whole fourth down, the punt would take Taquan Graham jumps offside. And, you know, he broke down from a rules perspective how really Oklahoma State didn't do anything wrong. Just remember that Texas was the benefit. And on their first TD, there was a defensive holding call. I didn't really see defensive holding. There was a pass interference call against Colin Johnson. I didn't really think it was pass interference. It happens. It happens. So let's not start the conversation with officiating. Like unless it's egregious. Like remember that Oklahoma State game with Charlie Strong a couple of years ago. Now that was egregious. We could tie up that conversation. Outside of just some mental stuff and just some referees is looking dumb at times, and it just kind of is what it is. Okay. Last time. We're going to get into a little bit more later this week. We'll talk about matchups, break it down. We'll talk about what Texas needs to do in order to pull off a win. But for now, we know what this program is. We can just forget about talking about college football playoffs and all those type of things. Texas can watch those other teams and see what they do and continue to fight hard and try to finish out the season as best as it can. But if they do want to achieve their goals, it starts this weekend. Because if they don't get a win this weekend, we're just going to start hearing about the other goal. And that's to get seniors to a bowl game or get seniors to a good bowl game. I guess they're already bowl eligible. But start talking about, well, it's how it means to the program to be in two straight bowls and getting the young people practice, and that's going to get a golf clap, but that's not going to be exciting. Well, I hope you were excited. Do your Drunk Uncle Sports podcast. Thank you for listening, wherever you're listening, and I don't know where you are, whether you're in the car, whether you're on the treadmill. God knows I need to get on one. Maybe I need to start listening to my own podcast on a treadmill. You know, whether you're listening to at home, at work, I don't know where you're consuming it, but I'm just glad that you're listening. I appreciate it. I appreciate all your feedback. I appreciate all the love that you guys give me. It does mean a lot to me. It's great when I travel and go throughout, you know, in airports and people say hello to me and this and that. Like, I do appreciate that. Like, it's very sincere, and I don't take that shit lightly because, you know, it just is. It is what it is, and it is who I am. So thank you so much for supporting me, and I really do sincerely appreciate that. Okay. Make sure you check out all the other great stuff on the Yak, all the other great podcasts that are here. Make sure you get on Orange Bloods. Follow me on Twitter. If you're not, I don't know what's wrong with you. You're smoking crack because my Twitter is kind of decent. It's A-N-W-A-R Richardson, first, last name. I made it simple for you. You just follow me on Twitter. give your boy a holler. I'll be here with you later on this week. We'll just talk about this West Virginia thing. We'll let some of this everything kind of die down. Let the emotions clear. Do some woosah. Relax. Enjoy your Monday night football game. You guys enjoy the rest of your week. We went long, but I told you there was a lot to unpack. I told you there was a lot to address. And I told you I had a lot that I needed to get into. I really am cutting it short because I really feel like I got some more topics I had scribbled down, but I'm like, I don't want these people to get tired of Drunk Uncle. And I haven't had a drink yet, except for a Shortstop, which, by the way, has really good burgers. I'm really impressed. You guys have a good week. See you soon.